To understand the Norman conquest, it is necessary to look beyond the famous events of 1066 and examine the country that existed before William of Normandy crossed the English Channel. England was not an isolated or primitive kingdom waiting to be transformed by foreign invaders. It was one of the wealthiest, most organized, and politically sophisticated realms in Western Europe. Its institutions were rooted in centuries of Anglo-Saxon development, its royal government was unusually effective, and its people possessed a strong sense of regional identity and local custom. At the same time, England was also a kingdom marked by political tensions, dynastic uncertainty, and the lingering influence of Scandinavian conquest. These pressures created the conditions that made the struggle for the English throne so dangerous. The England of the early 11th century was the product of a long and often violent history. After the departure of Roman authority in the early 5th century, the island had gradually become divided among several Anglo-Saxon kingdoms. Over time, rulers from Wessex had expanded their influence, particularly during the wars against Viking invaders. By the reign of Alfred the Great in the late 9th century, the idea of a united English kingdom had begun to take shape. Alfred himself did not rule all of England, but his military reforms, administrative innovations, and cultural policies helped establish a foundation for future unification. His descendants continued the process, and by the 10th century, much of the territory that would later be recognized as England had been brought under the authority of a single monarchy. The creation of a unified England did not erase regional differences. The kingdom was still composed of areas with distinct histories, dialects, customs, and loyalties. Wessex, Mercia, East Anglia, and Northumbria retained their own traditions. Some regions had experienced long periods of Scandinavian settlement and influence, especially in the north and east. In these areas, Danish legal customs and place names remained common. Towns such as York had strong connections to the Viking world, and many families traced their ancestry to Scandinavian settlers. The English monarchy had to govern a realm that was united politically but still diverse culturally. This regional complexity mattered because medieval kingship depended heavily on personal relationships, local cooperation, and the ability of powerful nobles to maintain order. England had a king, but the king could not govern every village, town, and county directly. Authority was exercised through a network of earls, sheriffs, bishops, abbots, and local officials. These men collected taxes, enforced royal commands, raised troops, and administered justice. Their loyalty was essential. A strong monarch could keep the system functioning smoothly. A weak or contested monarch risked losing control of the kingdom. One of the most important features of Anglo-Saxon England was the institution of the shire. The shire, roughly comparable to a county, was an administrative district with its own court and officials. Shires were divided into smaller units known as hundreds, which also held local courts. These institutions allowed royal authority to reach deep into the countryside. Disputes over land, crime, inheritance, and obligations could be addressed through established procedures. The system was not modern in the sense of being equal or democratic, but it was remarkably organized by medieval standards. The sheriff played a central role in the administration of the shire. The title came from the term shire reeve, meaning the royal officer responsible for representing the king's interests in the district. Sheriffs collected royal revenues, supervised local courts, enforced orders, and organized military service when necessary. They were not independent lords ruling private territories. They were officials whose power was derived from the crown. This distinction helped make the English monarchy more effective than many contemporary European kingdoms, where local nobles often exercised authority with limited royal supervision.